23. There's coming a Sunday that will not be our opening words, but for now, we've been in verse 5. My cup runneth over. Again, that speaks of the blessings of God upon David, the realized blessings of God upon him. It's also indicative of a response to the Lord. Of course, when we realize that we've been blessed of God, that should initiate a response from us. The response so far we see would be humility. Our cup ought to run over with humility. Next to that would be contentment, satisfaction with the blessings of God. The reason that people are not satisfied is, and I'm talking about the blessings of the Lord upon our lives, we ought not be satisfied where we are. We need to be getting more spiritual. But the reason people are not satisfied with the blessings or dealings of God in their life is because they're proud. So humility takes care of that. It gives us that contentment, which leads to joy. We began to look at this last week. Our cup ought to overflow with joy. And again, as we said last week, most have a false perception of happiness. That perception is based upon feeling good, circumstances to their liking, a place to their liking, all personal preferences being met, fulfilled personally. If all of that happens, then I'll be happy. But there's people, when that happens, they're not happy. But again, that's a false perception of happiness. If that is what is required for you and I to be happy, we're not going to be happy very often, if ever. So this wrong perception, of course, leads to a wrong pursuit of happiness. If you believe that circumstances must be to my liking to be happy, then you're going to pursue those circumstances. You're going to do whatever you can to make those circumstances happen. If it has to be a place to your personal liking, then of course you're going to pursue that place. And people that do that, what happens is they find what they think is that place and then come to find out this isn't the place. Because a place can't make you happy. That's not where happiness is. It's not circumstances. Personal preferences being met. Again, if that's your perception of happiness, that's what you pursue. And you pursue to make it happen. I'm going to make sure my personal preferences are met. And we live in a society that's how they live. I'm going to make sure that my personal preferences are met. Regardless of anyone else, my personal preferences have to be met because I deserve to be happy. So that's what they pursue. But again, the Bible speaks of an inward joy, an inward happiness. It has to be inward before it can be outward. An inward gladness, an inward cheer, an inward pleasure, an inward delight. And we saw last week, it is a joy that has its basis in the Lord. It is a joy that has its basis in the spiritual. So David, as he writes this psalm, recalling the blessings of God upon his life, recalling God in his life. He says, my cup runneth over. As this fills me with joy. And if Psalm 23 is our life, your cup will overflow with joy. There's no question about it. It won't be any other way. I mean, if you know the Lord is your shepherd, you know he makes you lie down in green pastures and leads you beside the still waters, you experience those things, how can you be anything but happy? So when we come here to verse 5, we see, again, it's an exclamation point. My cup runneth over. We saw last week that it is a joy of divine origin. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from circumstance or place or preferences being met. It is of divine origin. It is a joy in God. And we looked at several characteristics of that joy. We saw that it is a joy that can be had in the midst of calamities. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17, 18. Terrible things were happening. Famine was everywhere. Yet Habakkuk rejoiced in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. It is a joy that we can have in the midst of sorrow. So sorrow doesn't have to be taken away in order for us to have this joy. Calamity doesn't have to be taken away in order for us to have this joy. And is that not how we pray many times? Lord, remove this calamity, remove this sorrow. He doesn't have to do that for you and I to be happy. We just have to get focused on the right thing. That is the Lord. It is a joy that we can have in the midst of trials. Notice in James chapter 1, James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's difficult. That's difficult. That's not an easy thing, but it is possible. 1 Peter 1, verse 6, wherein, which would be salvation revealed to the last time, talking about the return of Christ, ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, and we've pointed that out before, that those three words need to be circled, underlined, highlighted, whatever, if need be. Ye are in heaviness. Sometimes it's necessary. If need be, ye are in heaviness. It's necessary that we have heaviness. It's necessary that we have calamity. This heaviness is through manifold temptations or through manifold testings. These things are necessary. But we see here that we can have joy. It is a joy that can be had in the midst of persecution. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. For he had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. The spoiling of your goods he took joyfully, knowing in yourselves. So you see, this joy is based on a knowledge that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. So their focus wasn't on what they lost. Their focus was on heaven, what they were going to gain. So there was joy. There was a happiness. There was a joy. So this joy goes beyond feeling good. It goes beyond circumstances to our liking. It goes beyond a place to our liking. I believe that you and I can be in the most miserable place on the planet and be happy. We can have terrible circumstances and yet be happy. Not a single personal preference perhaps is met, but we can still have this joy. It is a joy that goes beyond the fulfillment of self. It is a joy that goes beyond comfort and the joy of self. It is a joy that goes beyond acquiring of things. Things will never bring happiness. Never. It will not bring joy. It goes beyond personal attainments. It goes beyond acceptance and recognition from others. So as we recollect the Lord in our lives, our hearts overflow with joy. Our hearts overflow with rejoicing. And as we've stated over and over through the years, happiness is a result. It is not a pursuit. And as we read here in this 23rd Psalm, my cup runneth over. That's the result of everything else that's been said in the Psalm. Happiness ought to be a way of life for the child of God, and I believe it can be. But again, it is a result. It is a result. If I'm not happy, I need to look at myself. If you're not happy, you need to look at yourself. Because again, happiness is a result. We like to blame it on everybody else or everything else, but that's false. That's erroneous. So notice, it is a way of life, and it is the result of seeing the Lord in our life. In Psalm 16, again, we see, look at several verses that teach us that happiness is a result. Verses 8 and 9, I have set the Lord always before me. If it's always before you, you see it, you recognize it. There's no getting away from it. I've done this intentionally. I have set the Lord always before me. There are things that I set before me that will not bring me joy. And we set those things before us and we focus upon them and will not bring us joy. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Then notice, therefore, because of what we just read in verse 8, my heart is glad. I've set the Lord before me, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. So it is a result of setting the Lord before us. It is a result of seeing the Lord. As a way of life, it is a result of recognizing and acknowledging God, who He is. Psalm 144, verse 15. Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. When you recognize who God is, there's happiness there. Again, trials can come. Terrible circumstances can occur in our life. We can find ourselves in terrible places that we would never choose. But it's what we put before us. I have set the Lord before me. You can do that, or you can set the terrible circumstance before you. And your happiness is determined by what you do. You can acknowledge the trial, or you can acknowledge who God is. If you acknowledge who God is, there's happiness. There's happiness there. Happiness is the result of finding and retaining wisdom. Notice in Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Notice, happy is. It's continuous. It's ongoing. Verse 18, she, speaking of wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. So there's two things here. There's verse 13, there's the finding of wisdom, the obtaining of it. And in verse 18, there's the retaining of it, the keeping it. Both cases, there's happiness. Now again, wisdom, people describe it in a lot of different ways. But 1 Corinthians tells us that the wisdom of God is Christ. Wisdom is Christ. Wisdom is doing as Christ did. Wisdom's doing the right thing. That'll bring you joy. That'll bring you happiness. Just doing what Christ does, being Christ-like, brings happiness. If we're Christ-like, we'll be happy. How many times we bring unhappiness in our life because we do just the opposite? And we see the world is in that cycle. They do one stupid thing after another and then wonder why their life is falling apart. People do the same thing. God's people do the same thing. They do one thing after another that's going to bring unhappiness, and then they're wondering, why aren't I happy? Again, we need to look at our own life if we're not happy. Happiness is a result of trusting the Lord. So we've set the Lord before us. We acknowledge who He is. Now, it would be wise to trust Him. Notice Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And what is it to handle it wisely? Yes, Christ. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Again, trusteth is ongoing. Present tense, is the same. You keep on trusting God, you'll keep on being happy. Happy is, and whoso trusteth the Lord, happy is he. So we've got the Lord before us. We see Him. We imitate Him. We trust Him. We're happy. We reverence Him. Notice Proverbs 28, verse 14. Proverbs 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth the Lord alway. Again, the Bible serves as its own dictionary, its own interpreter. What does feareth here mean? Well, we see it by the contrast. But he that hardeneth his heart, which is the opposite of fearing the Lord, shall fall into mischief. So you have two things here. You have happy is, fall into mischief. And what is it dependent upon? It's dependent upon whether or not we fear the Lord, whether or not we harden our heart toward the Lord. Happiness is a result of keeping God's law. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's the wise thing to do. It's always wisdom to obey God. It's always foolishness not to. And wisdom brings happiness. Obeying God brings happiness. Happiness is the result of knowing and doing the teachings of Christ. Notice in John chapter 13, John 13, and verse 17. If you know these things, that is what Christ has been saying, happy are ye if you do them. Just knowing them will not make you happy. Putting them into practice will. If you know these things and do them, you'll be happy. So again, happiness, without a doubt, is a result. It's not the result of a life without suffering. It is not the result of a life without any difficulties. Well, the reason I'm not happy is because I have one difficulty after. That's not the reason. Because there's been other people throughout history, and there's people in the Bible that were happy in spite of their difficulties. That's not the reason. The sooner people realize that, the sooner they can get on that road that leads to happiness. Happiness is a result. It's a result of, again, not a life free from suffering, but the result of enduring suffering as Christ. Notice James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Now, to endure is something that's not pleasant. You don't have to endure something that's pleasant. You endure what's unpleasant. Happy are them which endure. If ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Happiness is a way of life is not patterned after the ungodly. You will not be happy patterning your life after the world. And a mistake that God's people make is that they look at the world and they will say, I don't know what they see, but they say, but they seem so happy. Really? You better take another look. You know, they do the wrong things, and yet they seem happy. So I'm going to do the same thing. You know, guess what? It's not going to work. Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that's happy, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't even know why God's people would even seek the counsel of the ungodly, let alone walk in it. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And as we've pointed out before, there's a progression here. Walking, standing, and sitting. And the individual's getting more and more settled in their position. There's walking in the counsel of the ungodly, and then before long you're standing. That's a more settled place than walking. And then before long you're sitting. That's even more settled, and now you're comfortable. But happiness does not come from imitating the world. Notice verse 2. But his delight, this is the man that's blessed, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Happiness is a result of a mind saturated with the Word of God. And we meditate on the right things. Many times we meditate on the wrong things. We meditate on the trial. We meditate on the circumstance. We begin to fall into a wrong thinking trap. Well, what if? What if? What if this happens? What if that happened? What if this wouldn't have happened? And when you're in a cycle of misery. You're in a cycle of misery, and there are plenty of people who will come along to help you continue that cycle of misery. You have to get out of that cycle. You have to be saturated with the Word of God. And David says, my cup runneth over. That is with joy. So happiness is not to be the pursuit. But what we ought to pursue is the life that results in happiness, which we've just now looked at. So if you live the Psalm 23 life, I believe you will say with David, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over with joy. Notice if we go back to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Is that change to any degree depending upon circumstances? No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me, or he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do the circumstances change the fact that God has green pastures, God has still waters, God leads and guides? No, has no bearing whatsoever. So, if I concentrate and focus on what the Lord does, he restoreth my soul. You see, I can concentrate. If he restores my soul, that means there's been a failure on my part. So I can concentrate, I can meditate upon, I have failed the Lord. Will that bring you joy? No. But if you meditate upon, he restored my soul, that'll bring you joy. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Do circumstances change the fact that he has paths of righteousness? No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter what the circumstance. There's a right road, there's a wrong road. And you're going to go down one or the other. And the right road is going to lead to a life of happiness. The wrong road isn't. Again, he mentions a trial in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet God's presence, the valley of the shadow of death doesn't affect the presence of God. Doesn't affect the fact that he has a rod and a staff that he uses to comfort us. Doesn't change the fact that he prepares a table before us. Doesn't change the fact that even this is so even in, with our enemies, and he anoints our head with oil. And David thinks upon all these things. Think of the blessed life that you and I have because of God. How can you not be happy? But we have to think on those things. We have to meditate upon those things. Every one of us has the innate ability to fall into a thinking trap. Man, we can get ourselves in a terrible place. But there's wrong thinking, there's right thinking. Right thinking is God-based, and there's joy there. My cup runneth over with joy. It's also a heart overflowing with gratitude, and we'll look at that next week. If you realize who you are, you realize who God is, you realize what God has done in your life, your cup runs over with joy, and it also overflows with gratitude. Happiness. Happiness and gratitude kind of go together as well. Miserable people are not grateful people. I've never met one yet. Always miserable, but always thankful. The two don't go together. They don't fit. God help us to live this Psalm 23 life. Thank God that we have the privilege and the ability to do so. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings that you pour out upon us every single day of our lives. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to focus upon thee. Help us, Lord, to live this life that is so clearly presented here in this 23rd Psalm. Lord, we pray that as we worship you today, that you would help us to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, that you would move upon in our midst, humble our hearts, cause us, Lord, to look to thee. We do pray for the lost, that you would speak to their hearts this morning, that you'd save their souls. We pray, Lord, that you'd just meet with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.